You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
Well, welcome to Don't Be That Guy. I'd like to first introduce the panelists or allow them to introduce themselves, and then I'm going to give the premise, and we'll talk about how not to be that guy. I'm Paul Fisher, and I run the new media track here at Balticon.
My name is Amber Ray. I co-founded the Georgia Podcast Network, and I founded the Sex 2.0 conference in Atlanta.
I'm Annika Rudiger, also known as Soccer Girl, and I have a podcast called Soccer Girl Incorporated that I've been doing since March of 2005. And I just wrote a book.
Wow.
Very exciting. I'm M.A. I'm from the Better Late Than Never podcast, and the podcast... Oh, Heather, come on in. And I'm also on the podcast Better Fanboy Hell, and I've been podcasting for about a year and a half.
I'm J.R. Blackwell. I'm a burlesque girl, and I also co-founded the site 365 Tomorrows, which puts out a new piece of science fiction daily, and I manage the Voices of Tomorrow companion podcast to that site.
Yay! Hi, I'm Heather Welliver. I am lead singer of The Shillas, and I also do voice work for several podcasts. I can host a few, I suppose. I'm on Metamore City, Chasing the Bard. I also read for Escape Artists, which includes Escape Pod, Pseudopod, Podcastle.
The ADD cast?
Yes. I'm a frequent guest of the ADD cast, and of course, I co-host occasionally my husband's podcast, Girl Will Speak Life. And coming soon, you'll hear me reading for Interzone Magazine Online.
Excellent. So this is just an excuse for me to get on a panel with a bunch of hot women. But the real point that I wanted to get to is about a decade ago, I went to a convention down in D.C., and there were these two women who did a panel, called How to Be a Geek and Date Women or something, and they gave all of this kind of soft, fuzzy advice about you need to, be polite and open doors and be nice and all of this. And they had an hour panel. They took about half an hour, and then they left. And there was a guy in the audience who was a member of the CONCOM, and he stood up and said, "That's all bullshit." Because they date abusive guys, big dumb jocks, they won't have anything to do with anyone, who's here. And for me, that made that advice completely and utterly useless. So my job today as moderator is to be the bullshit detector. Because I want real advice to be given to guys on how to be a geek and still be able to not be creepy, literally don't be that guy. And this all stemmed with M.A. and Leanne Mabry, who could not be here, talking on, was it Leanne's podcast?
We actually put it on Better Late Than Never. What happened is that I went to go visit Leanne in Georgia last summer, and we decided to get on the mic, and what she did is she put a post out on her blog saying, "Okay, guys, start asking us questions because you've got two geek girls here. We want to see what you think." And basically, the first question we got was, "How do we talk to the other species?" And so it just went from there. And then by the end of it, we were giving con advice and hugging advice and over it, then I made the comment. I said, "Paul, if you want me to do a hugging panel at Balticon, I'm there." And look, this is where I am.
3 second
rule. Okay.
So yes, the 3 second rule.
Let's start off the discussion with hugs. What's a good hug? What's a creepy hug?
Just avoid the crotch thrust. That's my only advice.
Yeah.
Like, or like the too close crotch press. I don't want to feel your boner.
Or encourage one. Either.
Right, yeah. Right.
Exactly.
I would say any unsolicited hug. Like, unsolicited touching is not okay. Like, a lot of the time guys feel like it's okay to put their hand on my arm or otherwise touch me and come into my space, and that's not okay. They wouldn't do that with another guy. I wouldn't do that with a guy. So any unsolicited touching is totally not cool.
Yeah, I was going to bring that. Don't touch until you're touched, or you know it's okay. If you if you're familiar with somebody, it's one thing, but especially when you're meeting somebody for the first time, maybe you don't have that sensor to tell, so just wait.
Yeah, if you have any questions about it, don't touch.
A handshake is always appropriate.
Yes. And if there is a hug, my advice was, stay below the bra strap and above the waistband. If you feel either one of those, move your hands.
Okay. So, what about meeting someone who you've been, who's either been listening to your podcast or somebody who's who you've been talking with online, whether through a blog or chat or whatever, the level of conversation, how familiar should somebody be?
I mean, I think it's a little unfortunate and odd that there even has to, that even has to be a question. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe some guys see women as different. I mean, just be a person. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know why that would be a question. Just like,
well, I don't know. I mean, for me, with my show is really personal. It's about my life. So somebody listening to the show might feel like they know more about me than just a random stranger on the street would. So there already is this, like, strange intimacy that I don't necessarily feel with that person, but that they might feel with me. So
I get the same thing.
You know, so, but it's tricky. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the easiest thing to come up to somebody who you just heard talking about, like, having sex or whatever, and think that you can't mention that, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't see what... I mean, you can just say, I really enjoy your podcast. I really like what you do. I mean, there are things to think you could say that are totally fine.
Yeah, that's true.
I think with me, I think if I... Because my podcast is a lot about me, at least the beginning part is a lot about me and everything like that, and I think sometimes people feel like they know a little bit more about me exactly like that. What it's always been for me when I've had people come up to me, it's just random people, and then they start talking, and then they keep talking, and they keep talking, and I had no connection before them. They had never heard of my podcast before. Usually I meet somebody that's actually been listening and that I've had some sort of a dialogue with, they sent me voicemail or we've exchanged emails, then to me they're almost like a friend. Mm-hmm. But it's these people that I've never met before, never met me, and they just started talking to me, and then they keep talking. So.
Yeah, ask some questions.
Yes.
We love talking about ourselves.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's the thing is that...
But ask, don't...
Well, yeah, and then
dialogue.
They're talking and talking and talking and telling about their, you know, audiobook that's on 17 CDs, and I haven't been able to get a word in edgewise in the past 10 minutes, because, you know, I like to have dialogues, and I love to talk with people, but sometimes it gets to the point where it's like, okay... I guess my one thing that I was talking about with, who was it? There was somebody I was talking with where I mentioned that I was going to be doing this panel, and they said, you know, they should leave them wanting. If it's somebody that you want to keep having a conversation with, you don't know what they may be going to do. They may be standing in a hall getting ready for a panel.
Yeah.
And they may need to, like, have some time to get questions and stuff together for a panel. If you're not sure what they're going to be doing,
that's good.
Talk to them and then back off and then come... Talk to them later if you want to keep talking to them.
A dialogue, not a monologue.
Yes, definitely.
I would say I have the opposite problem in that people don't know anything about my life because I put up fiction. Mm-hmm. I don't generally talk about my life. I put up a lot of photos, but I don't often talk about my family and my friends. They're photos, and they're usually more like... about telling a story that's more of a fantasy or science fiction story than it is about, like, a biography of my life. So many people don't know anything about me, and they do assume things about me. Sometimes I've had the assumption that because of my name that I'm male. I've had the assumption that that I'm single, I think is the assumption that I get a lot.
Well, you're hot, huh?
So of course I should be single.
Of course, you have to be single. Damn!
So I think that would be something if you're looking at attracting somebody at a convention or talking to somebody at a convention, I think it would be not a bad idea to ascertain whether they are actually available first. That would be a good idea.
That's the asking question things.
Yes, the asking question.
I think that's less of an assumption than it is wishful thinking.
It's a wishful assumption.
Wishful assumption.
So, what are like space rules that guys should follow as far as depending on whether you've never met before, you've talked on the net, or someone that maybe you've seen a couple of times at cons, is it okay to be 6 inches away? Should it be 3 feet away?
I would say observe body language.
It depends.
Yes.
Some people don't have that sensor, that's the thing.
We're talking about engineers. If we give a range of, for the first meeting, you should be 2.5 to 3 feet away.
It varies person to person, but observe body language. If you're talking to someone who keeps backing up from you, who keeps looking around,
crossing their arms,
you're too close, and you need to give them their space.
Mm-hmm. And people have different amounts of personal space, so it is hard to give a calculated answer to that. It's, for some people it's 4 inches, and for some people it's 2 feet, so it is hard to sense, but body language is a good way to detect that. If people are uncomfortable, then pay attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
because they're uncomfortable, they probably won't tell you, hey, I need you to back up. Mm-hmm. So you really need to
really
be aware
bold.
Of
well,
that.
That makes it even more uncomfortable.
Yeah, because
then you're talking about it.
Yeah, you're talking about it, and they may not want to hurt feelings. I know I've been in that situation where somebody has been invading my personal space, but I don't want to hurt their feelings because I don't want to be that bitch that was doing that. You don't want to be that guy. You also don't want to be that girl either.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. But if they start crossing their arms and they start shifting, if they start looking over your shoulder, they're probably trying to find somebody to save them. So, that type of...
It would probably help if they actually look at your face every now and then.
Yes.
Instead of what they're always looking at. I look at the face in addition to everything else.
Well, okay, so let's talk in terms of percentage of time. Where should the eyes be?
Yeah. I would say there's no problem with looking, but if you think that they know that your look should be there's no problem with looking if it's on display. There's no problem with that.
Right.
But it should be subtle. I mean, you should not think that they could tell.
Yeah.
I wish
you're in a conversation with them.
We don't let.
That's the thing. If you really want to look when you're talking to them and up from it, stay on the face. And then, when you're not talking, then look across the room and then you can get a good look.
It's just a respect thing,
Right.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
It's like, like you said, if they're on display, obviously I'm not going to be mad at somebody for looking. But, but I also don't want to think like I'm just talking to somebody who's just checking out my
face. I think these questions are a little odd, like phrasing questions in terms of percentage of time spent looking
but
somewhere.
That's how men think, though.
But that's a generalization. We should expect more for, we're all people. People need to just treat me like a person.
Don't
ask for percentages of time. That's super creepy and weird. And, it's just...
Well, just like the species question. It's like we are the same species. We're basically the same. The plumbing is just a little
different. But I think, you're right. In a perfect world, everybody should respect everybody. We should all be people. We should all understand that. But the fact of the matter is that people have trouble with this. And I think it helps... ultimately the goal is just treat me like a person, respect me, I'll respect you, everything is cool. But in the meantime, it's like, how do I seem like I'm doing that? If I don't
absolutely,
know.
But I think the giving, numbers, and like, that's a little weird. That's a little disrespectful to everyone.
I agree with you. At the same time, I think that a lot of the people that have these kinds of problems are not people who necessarily are able to
judge
that,
based on
to have that human thing. They need perception. To have something to go, okay, I've been talking to her, it's been 2 minutes.
I have a rule, like, yeah. I can follow. It just makes it easier to... Well,
for the people who are generally struggling with this, I think that it's
those guys are the ones that need the help. There's right. mistakes being made, and I think it's admirable if somebody knows that maybe they don't have those instincts to be reaching out and
yeah.
trying.
Yeah. That maybe it's harder for them. Yeah.
Well, how do I do that? What's the best way? What do you expect?
Or they might need yeah. a number to go by.
Yeah, exactly.
My brother has Asperger syndrome, and he has to kind of count, like, in terms of making eye contact and looking away, because you don't actually make eye contact like this constantly.
Yes.
Oh, that's
you
yes.
do,
yeah.
You do, like, eye contact, you
and then
kind
you look
of
around,
look away.
And I'm really bad at that, because my eyes flit to everything. And so people may think that, like, I'm not paying attention when I am, but my eyes will go, and I'll talk to you, and then I'll look over at her, and I'll do the same thing.
It's,
but
so it's
direct, constant eye contact is very uncomfortable.
Yes.
We don't like it.
Question in the back.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, it's more of an observation. I completely concur about treat with respect, be cognizant. But I just want to give you an experience that will help you to understand how difficult that is for some people. In normal, putting quotes around that, normal people, when I was in high school, there was an exchange, actually several exchange students from Spain. I had a conversation with one of them. I don't know how familiar you are with kinesics, but body zones are more compressed in Spain than they are here. So
culturally,
she kept
yeah.
stuffing into what was, for me, very familiar territory, mm-hmm. but for her was casual conversation.
Right.
So I had brought my girlfriend to a dance, and here's this woman, girl, we're in high school, standing about this close to me, and I'm backing up,
yeah.
aware of what's going on, and slowly backing up through the room, aware of it. I was aware of the phenomena,
right.
and still unable to control that little reflex.
Well,
while it's still very valid to say, just be aware, just be respectful, and so on, even people who are aware of it are sometimes just, they act faster than they think.
Yeah. Well, or they come from a culture where the rules aren't the same.
Yeah.
And so they're not... But I think when in doubt, like you said, you were backing away. I mean, that's a signal cross-culturally
yeah.
that someone's uncomfortable. So, mm-hmm. I mean... But
she wasn't picking up on your signals.
Yes. And,
right.
and I'm not saying that this is a direct analog. I'm just saying that while the idea of being respectful is true, like you were saying with Asperger's and so forth, sometimes they don't have the ability to sense...
Right.
Clue, which is why, getting back to what someone was saying a moment ago, which is why that, yeah, about a third of the time look away. Don't stare intently at their eyes. And little guidelines
mm-hmm.
help people to eventually train themselves into being able to sense these mm-hmm. things,
yeah.
which is why these numbers, while very cold and calculating right now,
they help,
kind of
yeah.
weird, are helpful to some people.
They help you just be mindful
yes,
of it,
Regina.
Too.
I have a question then about this, because... I will say, you know what, I need a little more personal space. Will you stand there? Thanks. With a smile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody has to guess. Nobody has to sense. Nobody has to do anything. I just say it. It's never occurred to me that might be rude.
Speaking as a dense male, I appreciate that.
it's usually women who stand too close to me. I don't know why, but...
I'll explain to you.
I mean, is that...
I don't think that's rude if you feel comfortable.
Yeah, if you feel comfortable doing that, yeah.
That's great.
Why are people not comfortable directly saying something smiling and friendly, not like,
right.
you know, bitchy, get out of my...
I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes I am, but sometimes it's like... You know, somebody's being awkward already, and you don't want to make it worse.
You
at least I don't want to make it worse.
Yeah.
Physically intimidated.
Yeah.
Like if I'm getting super creep vibe, I'm not going to have a problem saying that.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a middle
away.
Area.
Yeah.
But you know, if it's just kind of, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably just
back up until you're against the wall.
Possibly. Yes. Because it's hard.
It is hard. Yes.
It's hard.
And on that, if I'm doing something wrong, please tell me before you before you decide you don't want to talk to me at all anymore.
I don't know about that, because that makes it my responsibility for someone else's bad behavior, which is kind of the point of not being that guy.
No,
because someone may inform you in a more appropriate setting. When you're in the moment, it may not be appropriate. What may be appropriate may be, I'm extremely uncomfortable, get me out of this situation. I don't have the time to educate this person who is being disrespectful.
It's a dialogue.
Yeah, and so there are appropriate venues for that, but it's not always my responsibility to educate someone who is making me extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, when you're having a conversation with somebody, or, you know, it's two people that are having an interaction. So it's not my responsibility only, it's not your responsibility only, it's both of our responsibilities to interact together in a way that's appropriate.
Well,
so.
I respect you more than 90% of the people you ever meet, but nobody ever gave me the textbook about social bullcrap.
Well, nobody has a textbook about it. Everybody's got
to
learn it.
Right. This is something that everybody has to learn for themselves. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have this panel, was so that people could get an idea of the fact that there are a lot of, there are a lot of different opinions just up here,
right.
And there's only five women talking. It's not all of humanity, it's not everyone, it's this very small sample. But there are some issues that go across that people, I for one, when I was growing up, had no clue about. I'm sure I was that guy a lot. And it took me a while to get over it, and I want people to be able to hear some advice on, just pick one thing that you can think about becoming aware of and make it your responsibility to think about what you do and how you could change that to be a little bit more sociable.
May I read from something really quick?
Sure.
I brought something that I think is just excellent, that everyone should read, that was recently written by a woman on LiveJournal. Her LiveJournal handle is Synectochick, and later, if you're interested, we can spell it out or whatever, but it's called Don't Be That Guy. It's sort of long, but it's really, she really nails it. Like, she really crystallizes some things that I've tried to put into words for a long time and haven't been able to. But in here, there are 6 points of, cues of what it means to be that guy. And they are, first, the big three. Number one, entitlement. Number two, entitlement part two. And number three, cajoling. And then the next four are the more subtle three. And they are patronization, dismissal, and co-opting the argument. And these are explained more in detail. And it's something that if you are curious about, because I think a lot of people do these things without, obviously nobody, most people who are normal don't have bad intentions, but it just may be ignorance, which ignorance can be repaired. And so refer to this and just be aware, and also be aware too if women are telling you, this is what I experienced, this is how it makes me feel, this is not okay, and you find yourself becoming defensive, maybe take a step back and ask yourself, why do you feel defensive? Maybe there's a reason. Maybe it's not that she's out of her mind. Maybe it's she experiences the world different than you do and may have a valid point, and it may be a good idea to step back and try to think about why that might be.
If I can just add on to that, this is much more nuanced, but I know that there are multiple people in the room that this was a bit of a red flag for, and I feel like everything that's been discussed so far is pretty blatant. It may not... We've been talking about really tangible things.
Mm-hmm.
And just as an example, I'm assuming that this is a safe space where I can do this. In the introduction of this panel, what I saw was a guy saying that he was going to be the bullshit detector for a group of women.
Yep.
And I was like, you're being that guy! It's much more subtle.
And it's not about intent, because obviously
exactly.
Your intent is great, but it's things like that and being open to understanding how women experience things where your intentions may be totally different and why that is.
I really liked that one point about entitlement. I think that that's something that's not often explored. And people are, like, these tangible things, a lot of people, I think, are kind of aware of them to some degree. But that entitlement thing is something that I see often, and people seem unable to understand or get over, that I am entitled to a girlfriend. I'm entitled to have women pay attention to me. I'm entitled to them to be attracted to me. They must be. They have to be. And I feel like that sense of entitlement is really problematic, because I don't think that actually anyone is entitled to have other people be attracted to them. And I don't think that...
Male or female.
No, yeah. Male or female. Yeah. And I don't think any male or female must be attracted to other people as well. You know, we're all individuals. We don't have to.
Is that more of a fan thing, though, where someone spends their time listening or looking at your pictures, and the entitlement comes from, like, I listen to your show every week. I love what you do. Right. Listen to me bitch about my life. That's the entitlement I think that comes across, and a lot of guys kind of feel like I've done my part.
Right, right. Actually, right.
I've seen that. Friends of mine. Fans. Yeah, okay, who just have that to women. It's like, why haven't I gotten a girlfriend? I deserve a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Just because.
Yeah. Right.
So I think there's a part of that in the fan thing. But it's not necessarily all enough.
Yeah, just because I'm nice. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, just because you're nice doesn't mean that you're entitled to anyone.
It means you're a normal human being.
Congratulations.
Well, I actually have an entitlement story that happened this weekend. My podcast was about me being a geeky single mom, and last year I met my fiancé, and he's sitting right there in the front row. And I announced on my podcast that I was getting married, and he's been showing up, because the way I do it is that I have guests on, and I've been lazy, and he's right there. So he makes the perfect guest. I got a voicemail this week saying, well, it's all nice that you're getting married and everything, but we don't really want to hear him on the podcast. And it was like they didn't want... Yeah, I know! And it was like they didn't want to have that little illusion that I am this geeky single mom that's available, and now that I'm not available, they don't want to know that. They still want to keep their little fantasy. And that was just... It bugged me, and I know... we just couldn't believe it. It was blasting him.
It hurt my feelings a little bit. This guy was just like railing on me. Mm-hmm. And I
mean, it was a long voicemail.
Yeah,
it was
like,
I mean, yeah, so it's.
But that's passionate. Like, as being a guy of one of you, because I know, like, Jared probably, you know, has his stories too. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have to accept that, you know, you're with a strong female and that this is going to happen to her. But you. Just gotta kind of accept.
I don't think you have to accept that it's gonna happen to her. I think that's part of what it means to be a good male ally, is to push back so that that doesn't happen to her, because it shouldn't happen to her.
I think there's a question.
Yeah. Hello. This is sort of related to the entitlement thing. One of the things that I hear men in the nerdy community say a lot is that girls don't like nice guys. They
the
like
nice guys. I hate that.
The nice guys.
No.
That's a good point.
What were your comments?
I'm married to a wonderful, nice guy. I know you are going to get married to a wonderful, nice guy. Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
The nice guy.
The nice guy.
That drives me crazy.
The nice guy is an asshole.
I dated the asshole. One after the other. Mm-hmm. I was engaged to one. I married one. Okay? I did. And it was the longest year of my life. And then I found my nice guy. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't trade him for anything. So keep being the nice guy.
Yes.
You're the ones we married.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's what
but there's the nice guy, and then there's the capital N, capital G trademark nice guy.
Right.
The ones who are passive aggressive, like, oh, I'm such a nice guy. What is it? She like me? Like, I deserve her. And they put women on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. And it's very off-putting. It's you're not a nice guy if you're going around always saying, I'm such a nice guy.
That's the entitlement thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that nice guys tend to date a lot of real bitches.
Yes! Yes! As someone... As someone up until this year was terminally single, it used to chat my butt when I would see my nice guy friends with girls that treated them like crap, and I would tell them, I was the one, because I used to hang out with the fraternity in college, I was the one that would go up to them and say, that girl is not treating you right, you should dump her. But, you know, that was the sort of thing.
Nobody ever listened.
Yeah, but nobody, they never listened.
And it was awkward at the wedding.
Yes.
I wanted to talk real quick about the feedback and personal space thing. Mm-hmm. Have any of you guys ever considered directing where that person stands? Not necessarily going so far as to say, I need more personal space, but how about, why don't we go over here?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or why don't we go over here and talk to these friends, or let's sit at a table with you on this side and me on this side.
Yeah.
And it's a subtle thing, but at the same time it gives you the personal space you need. You're taking control of the situation, and you're giving them feedback as to how much space you want.
Yeah,
really? I've done that.
I don't think that it's, I mean, there are definitely tools for, you know, ways to be subtle and get your point across. Mm-hmm. But, and that's one issue. The other issue, again, is like, whose job is it to say what's going on?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's a dialogue. And so that's,
well,
but
I'm
that's.
I'm comfortable, it's my job.
Yeah, no, that's that's a really good suggestion. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, there are all kinds of like tricks and sort of, you know, ways of gently, you know, making your point known, making your feelings known in any situation like that. And I think that's true for both sides, you know.
And the thing is that if I care about someone, and, you know, I will certainly direct them and let them know about what my feelings are about personal space, if there's someone I know I'm going to interact with often. But if they're a stranger and they are, I would say, not adhering to a lot of social rules or things that I feel are treating with respect, I generally, to be quite honest, I don't bother. No, I just leave. I just leave. I say, I'm going to waste my time with this person. Mm-hmm. And I will leave, you know, extricate myself from the situation.
Yeah.
Or find a way out.
Find a way out.
So, a couple of minutes ago, Amber said something about being a responsible male ally, being a conscientious male ally. And I think that sort of points to, you know, the self-selection. If you're a male and you're in this room, you're at least aware of the you know, hopefully, you're at least trying to not be that guy.
Right.
If, what do you do about, if you are a conscientious male and you're around other males who are being that guy, what are the red flags? And what should you do?
Call them out.
Yeah,
call out
your friends. Dude, you're being creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rescue.
You want them to decide and not make a spectacle?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
want them to hear you.
Right.
Really
we need you.
Because sometimes that guy will not listen to women because mm-hmm. they view us so differently that mm-hmm. they're not going to hear what we have to say. They're not. It's not going to register. So to hear it from, unfortunately, the first few times to hear it from another guy that they consider a peer, dude, you're being creepy, cut it out.
No.
That's what it may take.
Yeah.
Do it while you're sober, though.
Don't argue with, a drunk, don't argue when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Dan?
What I think, the discussion about the numbers and stuff, and how you were saying that it's not a good thing to do that. See, you have to take in consideration that it's a set of tools. Being social, you have a set of tools for being social. It's basically tells, signs. I mean, some people aren't born with these social graces. I happen to know a lot of people in the anime community who are going to die alone. I feel bad for these people, and I try to help them, but you've got to understand that, like, some people aren't born with two parents. Some people aren't born and told, you know, you look in the eyes and not in the chest. I mean, some people just don't know that.
That's absolutely
sad,
true.
Sad thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the only thing you can do is help them try to educate them.
Yeah.
And breaking it down numbers is maybe a better way to teach these people, because it's like being born handicapped but socially handicapped. And it's scary, but in the fan community, because people sit in their houses all day, social interaction tools are kind of like in the want.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a good thing for those people.
I totally agree, but I also think that there's no reason that I should force myself to be in an uncomfortable situation to try to educate someone else.
Yeah,
if those tools are useful for people, that's wonderful, but I shouldn't make myself vulnerable, uncomfortable, feeling threatened in
and
order
totally
to try to help
that.
Somebody.
I mean, once you say, I'm not cool with you, go away, they should understand that. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, there are this panels for people who don't understand that.
That's what
like,
this is for. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of interactions over the past couple of years with listeners who get really creepy. A lot of it's been like via email. And I just tell them, I mean, that's a really good tool because you're not in person, you're not physically threatened, you don't feel intimidated, and you can just say, like, that made me uncomfortable. And I've done that many times, and I've continued to have relationships with those people, and they've stopped doing the stuff that they were doing. So I think, like, having a dialogue, communicating how you feel is really, really important and really good, and we should all do it.
Yeah.
It's just a question of, like, you know, when do I feel like I have to do that all the time, or, like, you know, when can I, you know, when can I do it, and when can I do it in a way that's not going to hurt the other person, so I can embarrass them. Like, an email's personal and private, and, you know, they can say, oh, crap, and they might feel embarrassed, but hopefully aren't going to feel like they can't talk to me anymore, you know? So, I mean, I think this is productive, and I think it does, people can learn it, and they do, you know, and it, anyway.
I would also say turn to your friends. Like, if you're not sure if you're that guy, or if you have any inkling of, like, if an interaction went badly, or if you're having trouble finding a partner and you're not sure why, like, I think that, like, what's going on, guys? Like, because your friends know you the best, so, like, abstract advice is, like, good, but it's also not necessarily, you don't know if it pertains to you, so, like, if you can turn to your friends and be like, all right, what's the deal?
Yeah.
What's going on
And
here?
Be willing to hear it, and, like, be willing to understand. And be honest with yourself, too. You know, and try to not think that you're a bad person because you might not have the skills that you need or want to have.
Yes, definitely. I think because that guy often probably has some self-esteem issues. So you know,
I'd say most of the time.
Yeah. You don't want to add to that. I mean, you should be applauded for striving,
making an effort,
and
recognizing that there's a problem and that there's something that you're not doing the way you should be.
And the friends thing is an excellent point, because I think it's very important for men to talk about these things with other men. Again, not making it women's responsibility all alone. At Sex 2.0, we had a great session that Steve Illy led called How Not to Be the Creepy Guy. And it was mostly men who were in the session. Rusty was there and says it was awesome. We have yet to hear the audio, if you would ever upload it. I will make it available. But it was men talking with other men and calling each other out. And one guy in the session apparently just kept dominating the discussion, would not shut up, kept making stupid jokes. And finally somebody said, hey, dude, maybe you're that guy. You know? And it was like, sometimes you can't really take care of people's feelings. When they keep crossing the line, sometimes you have to say, you are that guy, stop that behavior now.
Yeah.
And that has to be it.
Yeah, at a certain point, crosses the line.
Especially if it's very aggressive.
Right.
Yeah. Don't be aggressive.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And be sensitive, don't be aggressive. Mm-hmm.
That's the cajoling point in here.
Yeah.
So let's move a little maybe away from the what not to do as to what to do. And I understand that this is an individual thing for you, but you know, let's just start off with what if somebody wants to have a conversation with you? What's going to work and what's not going to work?
Probe for availability, first of all, right? Especially at a convention where there's panels and things going on, and you're probably on your way to something.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to sense for that first before you even approach. And then when you do, have you got a minute?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Know? Doesn't that come off creepy in itself, though, if you're just, you know, walking up to somebody and start talking, so are you married?
No, availability.
Have a minute.
With the approach.
And also,
hi, I'm a fan. Or
are you busy?
Yeah, are you busy? I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But, that availability. I mean, we're all here to talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
About the other levels of availability. About the person.
That's much later.
Yes.
I mean, I think just to keep in mind, like to your point, that it is individual for everybody. Treat me as an individual. Don't assume things. Like, I met Dan. Hi, Dan. Mm-hmm. For the first time IRL yesterday. He's a blog commenter and everything. And, you know, it wasn't difficult. He came up and said, hey, I recognize you. How are you doing? I'm Dan. Introduced himself. Mm-hmm. It was totally normal. We were two people talking. It wasn't like, I mean, it's really, I don't know.
I think my big suggestion would be make female friends. Not necessarily female friends with the expectation of dating them later, but just make female friends. Female friends who are in relationships are great, because not only, like, first of all, a lot of relationships, until there's the one, break off. So yeah. It's like if you make female friends, first of all, you'll have experience speaking to females. Yeah. Second of all, you'll have female friends. Female friends have other female friends. If they want, one thing you want is good references. So, if you have a female friend who's in a relationship, don't knock her off as a good resource. First of all, she's in a relationship. She's looking to set up her other female friends with good guys. If you can say that, if you can come across as a good man and she knows a single woman who's saying, I'm single, it sucks, you know, and she's saying,
plus then there's like this assumed relationship that you are, like if she's in a relationship mm-hmm. already, like nobody's coming to the friendship assuming that anything's going to happen, right. Hopefully.
Right.
One thing though that puts me off is when a guy is constantly asking if you have single friends. Do you have any single friends?
Right.
Hook me up.
That's
hook
creepy.
Me up. If I know somebody that I think is appropriate for you, I'm probably going to introduce you. You know?
Yes.
Don't make me sit here and go, because maybe I have a single friend, but I don't think you're a good match. I'm not going to tell you that.
Or just be my friend to be my friend. Yeah, not because you have some motive of trying to get hooked up. Yeah, that's super creepy. Right.
Well, yeah, I think the idea of having female friends, too, is so that you can be comfortable talking to women,
right.
And so that you can understand that women are people, they have ideas, and, you know, just
we're
like
the
anybody.
Same species.
Yeah, and imagine that.
That's
we
crazy,
can all,
I know.
We can all get along, you know, on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, having friends full stop is an end in itself.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Friends are never wasted.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
There's a certain general socialization. If you are lacking in socialization skills, just having friends will get you socializing more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's just socializing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I think that's really good advice for anybody.
So, I'm not sure about you, Amber, but I know that JR and Soccer Girl have, they personas different from themselves, and I wanted to address the question of people who know your persona as opposed to you.
Uh-huh.
And what's that like, and have there been any problems there?
It's tricky for me because the line isn't clear. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, my persona is me in many ways. It's not exactly me, but it's much more, I don't know how to describe it, irreverent, I guess. So, I mean, I find that it's kind of easier for me to deal with people because of that, because I can just kind of put on my Soccer Girl hat and, you know, be that character, which is kind of me anyway. So it hasn't really caused me problems. I feel like it's made it easier. And it's, I mean, the fact that the character is so outspoken makes me feel like I can be more outspoken. So if somebody's bugging me, I tell them much more easily in character than not, I think. So.
Okay.
A lot of people think I'm a guy, so when I go to a convention, a lot of people think I'm a guy who just takes a lot of photographs of a girl with pink hair. So, I actually mostly what I get is surprise. Jared Blackwell's a girl? So I think I'm pretty open about one thing I'm pretty open about on the internet is that I am in a relationship, and it does help that my fiance Jared Axelrod has a strong internet presence, and he is very clear that he's in a relationship. So, so far that really hasn't been an issue. Although most people don't know I'm me, so who approach me at conventions don't know that I'm me, so they kind of interact with me as if just I was. Lady at a convention.
Does this apply at all to you?
I mean, I'm pretty much me. I'm not just, I put myself out there. I'm me. I use my real name, etc. But I do think sometimes people will assume they know more than they know. Like that they know, you know, that there's not something, you know, personal about my life that I'm not telling the world and that I might have a reason. I remember recently, well, I guess now it hasn't been that recently, but Rusty and I were, he's in the audience, by the way, Rusty and I were at a, you know, one of these local get-togethers with our blogger friends and everything, and this one girl was like, oh, ha ha ha, I feel like I know more about you guys than I know about my best friends. And I'm thinking, you must not know your best friends very well. And it was just an obnoxious thing to say. It's like, yes, I do talk about parts of my life that maybe a lot of other people don't talk about, but increasingly more people are online, especially, and you know, you may know these things about me, but don't assume that you have the whole story or that we have a level of intimacy that we don't have.
Yeah. That's exactly the same thing with me. I don't say everything. There are certain reasons I keep certain aspects of my life, such as my job, as far away from my podcasting life as I can. That's why I go by MA and not by my full name. It's very easy to find me, but I have reasons for not doing that, and people assume that they know they're getting the whole story. They aren't. So
you know, I honestly, I haven't been out there very long. Maybe a year, and so I haven't had any problem yet with persona, because I'm either reading somebody else's work or I'm being myself, so I haven't had any problems with that yet.
Excellent. Do we have any questions from the audience?
In the unlikely event that one of you babes would be interested in one of us geeks, how do we know that you're not being nice but are interested? Because there's a line I think that some guys go through
question.
Where it's like, I don't want to be that guy, I don't want to be that guy.
Ask? I mean, just really, I mean, communicate, I mean, honestly, and, I mean, I know that's revolutionary to actually communicate.
I think he's asking you.
But another red flag was, you know, the men are the geeks and we're the babes. We're the geeks too.
Yeah,
why
no,
don't we always qualify a geek girl? We never qualify a geek guy. And so that's something to think about. But yeah, just communicate. Just ask.
Babe.
You know, it's not difficult.
It is difficult. It is absolutely difficult.
It is very difficult. You don't want to find out the answer
if it's no.
Don't ask the question if you aren't prepared for any conceivable answer.
Well, when a girl's being nice and when a girl's interested in you, she does act differently.
Yes. Yeah.
It's subtle, though, and kind of
it's
hard
tricky
to put into words.
Yeah.
I mean, touching is a good indicator. If somebody's touching your arm or...
Yeah.
I don't know, though. You know, for me, that I'm a very loving person with all my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, that might not necessarily be a signal.
But it might. I mean, I'm just saying, like, things
right.
like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good question, George, because I don't know how to define that.
As somebody with experience with hitting on geek girls and dating geek girls, I can kind of speak to that to some degree as what's worked for me in the past. And of course, it's very different female-to-female relations than it is male-to-female relations, because I think there is a little bit more comfort when women touch each other and have can be closer. I think at least in our culture, it's easier.
It's more accepted.
Mm-hmm. But however, it being like also like female to female sexuality
oh,
is
yes.
also there's like some women are not interested in that, so you have to be very very aware.
Right. Yes.
So you know, one thing that I do when I was interested in women, I would put it out there that I am a person who's interested in women.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that you could say is that, like,
I'm not gay.
You could also, instead of one way to ask about someone's availability without necessarily being like, are you seeing somebody? And is to talk about your current availability. Because women will take that as a sign.
An invitation.
Like, if you're saying like, oh, you know, like, I've been single for a while, but I've been enjoying the swinging single life. They will say something like, you know, I haven't been enjoying the swinging single life because I'm with somebody. Or like, no, actually, I think the single life sucks. So, you know, I think that's one thing, is just to talk about yourself. So one thing I would do with women is I would indicate that I like women. And if they were like, I'm totally straight, I'd be like, awesome, good for you. You know what I'm saying? But if they were like, I don't know, I never done it, but I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
I think about it often.
So, and I think one thing to do is you can kind of test personal space.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of move in. And if they move away, you're like, all right, cool. You know, that's the only test. If they kind of move away, you know it. It's right there. Yeah. You know? But if they move in closer, mm-hmm. you can kind of move in closer. I mean, it's like this inch by inch test yeah. that you can kind of do and back off, inch back off.
Yeah.
And can you stress the inch by inch? Don't lunge in.
Yes.
Yes. Because that might scare them.
So.
I've always been a big hugger, and I've been meeting a lot of other podcasters for the first time over the last few months. So I'll walk up, like, meet Heather, and I'm kind of like, hi, how you doing? And if she
comes I'm there, hi, hug everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Almost. Well, if I don't hug you, that's probably a hint. Yes.
Let me just... we're running out of time. I want to say what worked for me was I was dating my wife before we got married, and I had no clue like what was really going on. And I got on the phone and I talked to several of my female friends, and I laid out the situation, and none of them would actually tell me anything specific other than this is good. And it
that's
was
smart. That's
you know
cute.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. so if you have questions about these things, you know, try and capture what's going on and ask one of your female friends.
Can I just say one more thing before we end? I think that was an excellent point that like your power that you have is to invite what you want, not to attack and try to take what you want. Mm-hmm. And so if you're interested in someone, making that obvious is the best way to go. And then let them either come in or not from that point. Mm-hmm. I think, like, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes I don't know if somebody's interested in me because they're too scared, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't say anything. And I'm like, why aren't they talking? Like, why aren't they hugging me? What, you know?
The pretty girl in school who never gets asked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So?
Because she may think that she's the dog. Because I'll tell you, last year...
Everybody's insecure.
I had went to this con and somebody called me the hot chick. And I'm like, okay, who, other person on here? Because I've never been that person. So I didn't know how to deal with it at all. So, it, you know, we're geeks too. You know, that's the thing. And we may have the same problems that you do. We all have insecurities. So
I would say the key, as in any relationship, cannot stress this enough, communication.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It seems very basic, yeah, yeah, but communication, even when it's scary, even when, because I've had times, you know, there are things that I'm very uncomfortable with and things that I have a lot of trouble getting across, but I know that it's worth it to do that, even if it hurts and mm-hmm. I'm crying and shaking. And what communication, yes. you have to get through it, even when it's scary, because that's really honestly the only way to deal with a lot of this bullshit,
yeah.
communication.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
And on that, I'd like to thank the panelists for joining us.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.